J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
This is America, Lois. Men have always run things, and there have never been any problems whatsoever. And don't say the economy or Iraq or income inequality or racism or Brett Kavanaugh or air pollution or Vietnam or slavery or Watergate or capitalism or Me Too or homelessness or police brutality or homophobia or Monica Lewinsky or school shootings or Native American genocide or Fox News or Tim Allen or climate change.
You make a good point.
That's it. I asked you to stop this, and you didn't listen to me. I'm sorry, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Oh, yeah, I know all about the FCC. They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you wanna take a piss.
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly kiss.
Here's the plain situation. There's no negotiation with the fellas at the freaking FCC.
They're as stuffy as the stuffiest of special interest groups.
Make a joke about your bowels and they order in the troops.
Any baby with a brain could tell them everybody poops.
Take a tip, take a lesson. You'll never win by messing with the fellas at the freaking FCC.
And if you find yourself with some young sexy thing, you're gonna have to do her with your ding-a-ling. Cause you can't say penis. So they sent this little warning. They're prepared to do their worst.
And they stuck it in your mailbox, hoping you could be coerced.
I can think of quite another place they should have stuck it first.
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It's Thursday, March 21st, 2024. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. This is our final podcast of the week. We do them Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. That's the time we post them, and then we take the weekend off, and we'll be back with a fresh podcast on Monday. Man, there is a lot going on. I could do about a two-hour podcast here today, but I don't have time to do that, so we'll hit the high points here. One of them is weather, because when we reconvene on Monday, we should be looking at really a situation where, people are gathering animals by twos. There's some sort of major weather disturbance that's out there in the Pacific Ocean right now that's coming our way, and they are predicting really, really heavy rainfall amounts throughout the Midwest. It's interesting because Florida is going to get it this weekend, talking about 2-3 inches of rain, and that's sort of what we're in store for in St. Louis, probably starting Sunday night into Monday and probably also Tuesday. Big, big rain. But the temperature's going up and down like this. I don't know how everybody doesn't end up in the hospital. 52 today, 35 tonight, then 69 tomorrow, but then 52 on Saturday, but then Sunday, 62, and then rain and cooling off quite a bit next week. I still know people getting COVID in St. Louis. Knock on Formica, I have managed to evade the COVID gremlins. I've had 3 operations in that time, but at least I didn't get COVID. So there's something there. This is an interesting day in the history of my career, because back in 2002, and then all the way back in 1987, let's start there. So in 1986, I went on my first spring training trip with Mama Lucia. You know, I haven't been to the frozen foods case in a while, so I don't even know if Mama Lucia's pizza is still around, but it was in 86, and she underwrote the trip, and that was my first trip to Al Lang Field down there. So I remember that. I remember the state in 1985, because when I moved to St. Louis, and this is foreign territory for a lot of people who live in the St. Louis area who have never lived anywhere else other than here. I moved 10 times in 10 years. coming up in the business. And when I got to St. Louis, I figured, well, it's just another stop on the way to wherever it is I'm going. So you want to have a nice apartment. You don't want to pay too much. And you want it to be conveniently located. And so I ended up at this apartment complex at 270 and Big Bend. And I thought I had it made in the shade with Fruit Punch Gatorade because it was a loft. And I had a bathroom and a bedroom up top. And then you come down the stairs and you would overlook from upstairs. You could overlook the whole living area. And I had a fireplace and a deck. But I also ended up with mice. Now, I don't like mice. And I also don't like what they signify. Because to me, mice signify uncleanliness. And I'm sort of a tidy person. I'm not, you know, a neat freak or anything. But I like things clean. So I kept going up to, I had to go up the road to the top of this hill at this apartment complex up to the main offices. And I would frequently complain about the mice. Like, are you going to do anything about the mice? And so one day I just stomped on a mouse and I put it in a plastic bag and I took it up to the top of the hill of the office. And I was like, look, I've been complaining about this for a very long time and I don't really see you doing anything about it. I haven't seen anybody in a work uniform with a little lapel pin or some sort of insignia or whatever it is indicating that he was an exterminator. And so let's go already, all right? I mean, come on. So I left. And then I realized there was something else I wanted to tell them. And I came back in about 10 seconds later. And they were all standing there in the middle of laughing their asses off. They thought this was funny. And man, did that piss me off. So I did what I used to do back in those days. I went on the air with it. And I named the apartment complex. And I complained about the mice. Well, lo and behold, they call my boss at the radio station and they complain. And I believe that his response was something along the lines of, well, why don't you just get rid of the mice and then he won't have anything to complain about. I think he was thinking, that's how I do it. When JC comes running up to my office complaining about something, I try to fix what's wrong so he doesn't have anything to complain about. Why don't you get rid of the fucking mice? I ended up getting my very first house shortly after that and never had mice, by the way. But anyhow, back to this career thing. So it's 1987, and I had left Keishi, and I served on a non-compete, and I was meeting with the people at Gannett, which ran KSD, which we turned into 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station. And that deal was forged on this date in 1987. And as fate would have it, several years later, in 2002, the deal was hatched for me to take over the morning show with the U-Man and Laurie Mack, and at that time, Jen Sparks, on the K-Hits morning show. 365 days in the year, and it's just weird that both of those things would have happened on the same date in history. It's a little spooky if you want to know something. Might as well do all of these while we're here. On tomorrow's date, 1987, Bill Cosby played the arena. That famous story back in 1985, lovely woman I was set up with. And I took her to a party at my boss's house, as a matter of fact. I remember we were drinking and playing pool and then drinking. And then we stopped playing pool and just kept drinking. And, you know, I knew I was going to have to drive her home. But so I took it easy. She didn't. And I finally just realized I got to get her the hell out of here. So I pour her into the car. This is a classy girl, by the way. She just had too much to drink. We start driving from South County back up into the mid-county area, let's just say, on our way into the Kirkwood area to that apartment with the mice, by the way. And she starts with, oh, I don't want to go home yet. I'm going to go home. Let's go to your place. And I'm like, okay. So it was probably, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. And we get very comfortable on the couch, and she proceeds to just fall asleep right on my shoulder. I think I was watching The Three Stooges or something. And so then, I didn't want to fall asleep. So about an hour later, I tried to wake her up and said, come on, let's take you home. No. And she would nuzzle further into the nape of my neck. And at this point, you know, I'm completely conflicted. Now, there's nothing going on. I didn't lay a hand on her. This was a first date anyhow, and I wouldn't do anything like that. We're both fully clothed and everything, but she's just basically passed out. But it's getting later and later. The next thing I knew, the phone was ringing, and I happened to notice that it was light outside, and then I looked at the clock, and it was 10 minutes to 7 in the morning the next day. And the woman from the radio station who had set me up with this girl was on the phone, and she was like, "Do you know where Leslie is? She never came home last night. Are you with her?" Now, this was a problem because she was still living at home with her parents at the time. And her father, story gets better. Her father was an ex-Marine. Now, the girl is starting to wake up, and she starts saying, "What have we done? What did we do? Why didn't you take me home? Oh my God, I'm in so much trouble." Like, hey, I kept trying to wake you up every 10 minutes. You were blasted. You didn't even know your own name last night. I'm in so much trouble. I put her in the car and I drive her to the vicinity of her home. I think I remember slowing the car down about 15 miles an hour and just pushed her out. I don't want to deal with the old man, even though I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a victim of circumstance. On Saturday's date back in 2007, what a great night at the Fabulous Fox Theater. Big fan of 70s soul. There's a Sirius XM channel, I think it's 49, that does all that, you know, shy lights and stylistics and everything. I love that stuff. The 70s explosion of soul. And my wife and my wife's mother and I buy tickets, and we go and we walk in, and there's maybe 20 people who are not African-American in this place, and we're three of them. When I told people I was going to this, people's eyebrows went up. I'm like, "Really? You're going to go to that, huh? Aren't you sort of worried?" I'm like, "What? What would I be worried about? What, am I going to get shivved just because they show up at the Fox Theater for what is traditionally black music? A lot of white people like that stuff. And oh, by the way, just don't worry about it, okay?" Well, I come cruising in that night. You wouldn't believe the warm reception that the three of us got. I think people were really flattered that, hey, that's cool that you like this music. But then the other thing I had going for me was for, I don't know, 6 years, I guess it was, I used to sit next to Julius Hunter on the Channel 4 news set when I was reviewing my entertainment pieces. And just because of association, I think people just figured, okay, he's cool. He's sitting there next to Julius. And this was right about the time that I was on Fox 2 doing those commentaries, which were called What's on My Mind. And from all over the place, I kept hearing these guys yell towards me, "What's on my mind? What's on my mind?" I just give them a thumbs up. What a great night of music that was. 1995, on Saturday's date, While You Were Sleeping, my first opportunity to interview Sandra Bullock in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, it was on tomorrow's date in 1994 that we lost Bob Richards. Now, there's still a lot of people who don't understand the whole story on it, and I've talked about it before. And to be honest with you, I don't want to go through the whole thing again, but briefly, I'll tell you what happened, because there's a couple of elements of the story that went, shall we say, dramatically underreported. You had these two stool samples, Steve in D.C., doing this morning show, and they used to like to do really, I don't know, sordid stories. And they found out that Bob Richards was cheating on his wife, and so they just kept pummeling him on the air. And eventually they made contact with the woman who was involved in this whole thing. And Bob wasn't helping his own cause. He was doing some stupid stuff. First of all, if you're going to cheat on your wife, you better cover your tracks a lot better, because if you're in the public eye, people are watching you, and people like to talk. So that's mistake number one. Number two, he was doing things like, he was a pilot. He was flying over her house down in Farmington all the time, calling her all the time, wanted to get back together. Keep in mind, Bob's married with a 10-year-old kid at the time. So again, he was not helping his own cause. But I should also point out that some of the most famous names in St. Louis history, politicians, athletes, other reporters and television personalities, you name it. I could give you a list of people who I know were cheating. I mean, when the Cardinals back in the 80s have a contest to see who can nail the most number of women when they're on the road, when that happens, it'll give you some sort of idea. And that would include some of the most beloved St. Louis Cardinal athletes that you have ever known. Yes, Hall of Famers as well. I mean, there were some real horn dogs on that baseball team. And like I said, politicians, the whole thing. Why do you think St. Louis leads the country in gonorrhea? Because everybody's got some sort of side action. So to brutalize Bob Richards in a way that made it seem like he was doing something so unprecedented by cheating on his wife, the whole thing was bullshit. So it's about to subside. It's been going on for a week or two, and it starts to sort of fade to black, and people are like, oh, yeah, Bob Richards, you hear what he did? Oh, what's the latest scandal? Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know about that. They forget. People just move on. But that wasn't good enough for the two stool samples. They had to put the woman who Bob Richards was boinking, they had to put her on the air. And she starts making all these additional accusations. And that little troll, Courtney Landrum, who is the darling of St. Louis media these days over on the Arch, she was behind most of this. And she was the one that arranged to have the woman down in Farmington, who Bob was seeing, to have her send the tape of his voice messages from her answering machine. So in other words, Bob would call this woman, let's get back together, I'm really sorry about what happened, blah, 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 blah. So now Bob's got to drive around listening to his own answering machine messages, his private messages to this woman on the radio, on their show, all thanks to Courtney Landrum. So that was on this date in 1994. Where they put this woman on the air. So that night, Bob Richards did the 10 o'clock weather. And if you wonder why I hate Karen Foss, and I could sit here for the next 2 hours and give you reasons why, but one of the big ones was that she was shunning Bob on camera that night. You know, they introduce the weather guy. He walks over to the weather set in front of the green screen, does the weather, and then when he's done, comes over and sits down back at, you know, back on the news set right next to the anchor people. And he was trying to make eye contact with Karen Foss, and she was looking down, and she would not make eye contact with him. And Bob even went so far as to very, very demonstrably lean way over and almost like try to get into her field of vision as if to say, why aren't you looking at me? She refused to make eye contact with him. And a couple of hours later, Bob Richards was dead. Now, nobody really knew that. Nobody knew anything about it because it was happening in the middle of the night. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. And when that happens, you know it can't be good. And it was Matush Galindo, who was doing the show with me at the time on, it was either the Fox or the River. I can't remember if we, I think it was the River. And of course, she's married to Malcolm Briggs, who was on Channel 5 at the time. So everybody in the Channel 5 newsroom in the middle of the night had heard what happened. But, you know, the way they do these things is they don't release the information and they don't release the name of the person involved in the tragedy until that person has been positively identified. And if you saw the crash site, you know that it would have been a long time before they would have been able to get a positive identification. He basically went straight up and then straight down. There wasn't a lot left. So really, there were only a handful of people in the entire area who knew anything about this, but I was one of them. And I went on the air, and I announced it. Because I knew it. All right, fine. We didn't have positive identification, but everybody knew it was him. And so the TV stations and radio stations were reporting that there was a crash, but they didn't say anything about who was in the plane. But I did. And it wasn't until almost noon that day when they finally started including his name in the story. So a couple of days later, Karen Foss goes on the air, this very, you know, teary-eyed eulogy of Bob Richards about how, you know, he was a great guy and did all the stuff with the telethon, and he was great to work with, and maybe none of us really knew him after all, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching this, you fucking cunt. That's right. I said it. There's a word I probably have only said 10 times in my life, but when it applies, it fucking applies. She denies any of that ever happened, by the way. She denies it. I still have the tape. I gotta just put it up on social media, see if she denies it then. I need a breather after that. Attorney General Merrick Garland is holding a press conference right now talking about this Department of Justice lawsuit against Apple.
Today, Apple's share of the U.S. performance smartphone market exceeds 70%. and its share of the entire U.S. smartphone market exceeds 65%. Apple charges as much as nearly $1,600 for an iPhone. But as our complaint alleges, Apple has maintained monopoly power in the smartphone market not simply by staying ahead of the competition on the merits, but by violating federal antitrust law. Consumers should not have to pay higher prices because companies break the law. We allege that Apple has employed a strategy that relies on exclusionary, anti-competitive conduct that hurts both consumers and developers. For consumers, that has meant fewer choices, higher prices and fees, lower quality smartphones, apps, and accessories, and less innovation from Apple and its competitors. For developers, that has meant being forced to play by rules that insulate Apple from competition. And as outlined in our complaint, we allege that Apple has consolidated its monopoly power not by making its own products better, but by making other products worse. Apple carries out its exclusionary anti-competitive conduct in two principal ways. First, Apple imposes contractual restrictions and fees that limit the features and functionality that developers can offer iPhone users. Second, Apple selectively restricts access to the points of connection between third-party apps and the iPhone's operating system, degrading the functionality of non-Apple apps and accessories. As a result, for most of the past 15 years, Apple has collected a tax in the form of a 30% commission on the price of any app downloaded from the App Store, as well as on in-app purchases. Apple is able to command these fees from companies of all sizes.
Wow, Merrick Garland going after the big dog. The other thing about all that money that Apple has, it means they have lots of ability to defend themselves and to get the best lawyers there are and pay them a lot of money. But as anybody will tell you, by the time the Department of Justice comes around, they already have you. They've already got you. But I'm in favor of anything that brings price down. Apple, I think, has made enough money for a while. They're not going to be hurting. Give us all a break. Remember the good old days when we didn't even know who the Attorney General was? Now he's on TV on a regular basis. By the way, Trump advisors are working behind the scenes to keep crazies from joining his presidential campaign. Their words, not mine. I don't know. They might be a little late. They say Trump is in panic mode right now because he doesn't have the $464 million he's got to post by Monday, and he didn't have it. You know, and there's a lot of people who are going to vote for Donald Trump on the basis of the fact that he was such a quote-unquote successful businessman. Well, it turns out that maybe he wasn't. Maybe he didn't have anywhere near the amount of money that he was claiming to have. Certainly not much of it is liquid. He's being accused of overvaluing his properties for the purpose of getting more favorable loans and then bringing those valuations down for tax purposes. That's the accusation. It just amazes me how many people he has fooled. It's going to be partly cloudy and 79 degrees in Florida today. It's going to be a rainy weekend. Florida is going to be getting a lot of rain all over the state this weekend, so they better enjoy this game today against the Astros because they might not be able to play for a couple of days. Dylan Carlson with a grand slam yesterday. The Cardinals all over the Nats, 13-4. Steven Matz, by the way, with a start. 4 runs, 6 hits, and 4 innings. By the time we reconvene on Monday here on the podcast, we will know if number 3, Illinois, knocked off number 14, Morehead State, that game at 2:10 in Omaha this afternoon. And the story coming out of L.A. with the Major League Baseball season officially starting 1 week from today and the Cardinals in Los Angeles. They got Shohei Ohtani, the Dodgers. And yesterday, a major story as Ohtani's interpreter was fired and is being accused of massive theft of millions of dollars of Shohei Ohtani's money because this guy, apparently the interpreter, had a gambling problem. And things kept getting worse and he kept embezzling more money. That guy's going to end up going away. He had the perfect gig and he pissed it away. And some young women, these female stars, I don't know what's going on. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more naturally beautiful-looking woman than Megan Fox. At least that's how she started out. But I'm telling you, this woman is good-looking. Now, she's way too skinny for me. She has no hips. And apparently, she even noticed that, which I'll get to in just a minute here. Megan Fox, how old is she? She's only 37, okay? She had her boobs done for the third time. And she said she wanted to look like a 1990s stripper. She's a 32D now. And I don't even know how she stays standing up. Like, she'd fall right over. And by the way, she wishes she could go bigger. And she says she wishes she could get a Brazilian butt lift, but doesn't have the extra body fat needed for the procedure. Well, that should tell you something right there. But I'm telling you, I've had these conversations with beautiful actresses and performers and stuff like that in the past. Supermodels, I don't know. They can get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and when we see the reflection, we say, God, you can just get out of bed and you still look beautiful. But when they look at themselves, they see flaws that in their mind are so serious they need to be surgically repaired. I don't get it. You see people like Meg Ryan, the shit they've done to their faces. Vermont State University probably will not be confused with Harvard anytime soon. They're offering a course on Weird Al Yankovic. It'll analyze what makes a good parody, how to pay tribute to another artist, AI's lyrics. Oh, Jesus, what am I reading here? Wang Chung headed out on the road this summer, along with Men Without Hats, Naked Eyes, and The Motels. Kicks off in May. I'd go see that. Nobody hotter in music right now than Kacey Musgraves. I love her. She says her grandmother acted like she saw a car wreck when she saw her nude cover for the new album Deeper Well. She said her grandmother said, Kacey, you're a singer, not a stripper. Yeah, but the music is great, so that's all that matters. Somebody wanted a remake of Roadhouse, and so they made one, and it's on Amazon starting today. Jake Gyllenhaal. When you take Ozempic, it's supposed to knock down your A1C and treat your diabetes. Tracy Morgan was on the other day and said he was able to out-eat Ozempic, and he gained 40 pounds in the process. That's not supposed to happen. Kathy Griffin, train wreck, has hired a private investigator to track down her husband so she can serve him with divorce papers. New movie in the works based on The Sims computer game. Oh my God, when my oldest daughter was 7, 8, 9 years old, oh, that's all she was interested in was The Sims. Margot Robbie's production company is behind it, and she's just golden right now. All of the early reviews on the new Beetlejuice movie are pretty good, and there's a trailer up there right now with Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder if you are interested in that. Remember when Aaron Rodgers guest hosted Jeopardy? Apparently, he was a front runner to get the gig permanently. Dr. Dre says Eminem has a new album coming out this year. And Jennifer Lopez just canceled, I think it was the last 6 dates on her concert tour. And the rumor is because the ticket sales were sluggish. People don't want to see Jenny from the block anymore. My whole house has been rumbling for the last 3 or 4 days because we're getting a new surface on all of our streets and our subdivision. And when they say heavy machinery, boy, they're not kidding. It's felt like an earthquake in here. So if you hear noises and rumbling in the back, that's what that is. These guys are driving these things around. I'm telling you, it's rattling the windows. I found out, by the way, that asphalt is not even a modern invention. You'd think that, what, asphalt maybe in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when we went from horses to cars in, like, you know, 1920s and 1930s. No, asphalt's been around for 2,500 years. The word comes from the Greek word asphaltos, which means secure. Not to be confused with asphalses, which is what Megan Fox has right now. We know they're fake! And a Florida couple was arrested for having sex on the sidewalk in front of a Popeyes restaurant. The cops arrived and said, you dopes, this is Florida. You're only allowed to have sex on sidewalks in front of a KFC. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, March 21st, 2024 is in the can. We're here every Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. with free stuff for you on the podcast. And if you get a chance to spread the word, that'd be nice too, because that helps us out. And of course, we're on the air every Monday through Friday morning from 6 until 10 on K-Wolf 101.5 St. Louis, still 101.7 West and beyond, and we stream at kwolf.com. Have a great weekend. Baseball begins in 1 week, and in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.